It's Thursday, September 15th, 2016, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 160. As you know, you are listening to episode 160 of Last Time on Video Games. Runtime for this episode is 49 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that is not an anime. My name is Jeremy.
20XEX!
I'm Tyler.
Deer in headlights. My name is Zach.
So, you're light years away from facing me. I'm Zach.
Of all the anime you've seen, and of all the tropes you know,
I just blanked. The Makoto Hito School of Martial and Culinary Arts. My name is Zach.
My power level is over 8,000, whatever we measure power level in.
I just freaking blanked.
You've activated my trap card. My name is Zach.
We can't use that one. We've already used that one before.
Have we?
Okay, actually, random segue, but related to anime and also trap cards. I went to go play ping pong today with one of my coworkers, and I kept putting it off because I had work to do, and he's like, okay, it's now time to duel. I'm like, okay, fine. You activated my trap card.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Is the best because it's a place where card game is the most important thing, but it's actually an ancient stone tablet game that was turned into a card game by a crazy guy with silver hair.
In my defense, I've been watching Berserk.
Okay, yeah.
He has to have some sort of catchphrase. In the name of the moon,
he
I'll
doesn't.
You. My name is Zach.
Yeah. That's the end of the point. Guts doesn't have a...
Yeah, the problem is if he had a catchphrase, you would almost definitely have to edit it out.
Guts just kills people.
Usually. And also... people is kind of a relative term, and he kills things. Some of them are people
too.
Yeah, some of them are people. Guts, the professional thing killer. He's like Radex, but with a sword.
All right, so
someone call for an exterminator. Anyway.
All right, Zach, in addition to watching Guts, do you have it? What have you been playing?
So, I've still been playing League, because I'm always playing League. I actually started and played through the first campaign for Warcraft 3, the human campaign. I remembered how bad I am at that game.
So how does that hold? I'd never actually played Warcraft.
Original campaign?
Yeah.
Terribly.
Warcraft 3? Okay.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Huh.
That's what I felt about StarCraft, and so I haven't played the Warcraft 3 campaign in a while, so my memories of it are still good. Although
It's too short. I only play the human one. Arthas goes from being a hot-headed but noble paladin to drop-dead evil and a about 0 to 60 seconds.
Zach, he gets an evil sword. That's secretly the Witch King, I think.
Yes,
but it's been a while since I played it.
To pick up the sword, he has to be willing to kill his friend.
That's true.
A character in which we have no context for who he is.
His friend is a dwarf. They're not really people.
They're only half people.
It's not very good.
You are right. That is too fast. I think it's better than Kerrigan's, though. And Arcturus makes me you, Kerrigan!
Remember when you thought that StarCraft's story was good?
I do.
Yeah.
And I also remember when I thought Warcraft's story was good, but Zach is here to set me straight.
But other than that, I played a few games of Civ 4, not 4, 5.
Yeah, I saw you doing that.
I played one as Russia, where I ended up having to kill everybody to take over.
For the mother Russia.
Oddly enough, I got the achievement Behind the Iron Curtain on that level, and it has nothing to do with Russia.
Oh.
It's like win a conquer victory using order.
Oh, yeah. It's because that's the communist win.
Yeah. But I won that one. I ended up, like, I was just initially going to be kind of peaceful with the other two big nations that were still left. There were just me, the Zulus, and I think like the Moroccans or something like that.
Oh, yeah. The Zulus are well known for peaceful coexistence.
But, like, so we were just coexisting, and then the Zulus attacked a
city state
that I was allied with. So I promptly declared war. Rolled my army of artillery and tanks into Zululand and wiped him out.
I feel like Zululand should be a theme park.
Then I decided, you know what? It's just me and this other guy, and I have a massive army. So I rolled my entire army to the other side because I was in the middle, and there were two on the two far sides of the land. So I went all the way back over, then rolled my massive army of artillery and tanks through the Moroccan lands and took them over and won the game. I had another one where I actually ended up winning by space victory playing England. But for a little while, I was actually sending what little army I still actually had from conquering Spain, the Zulus, and the Brazilians over to a city-state that was under attack by somebody. So I just kept, like, funneling them resources I built a battleship for the sole purpose of giving it to them. Because I'm like, I like having this city-state as an ally, but I don't actually want to declare war on this other nation. So I'm just going to play the part of America in World War II and send them arms.
America in World War II? Don't you mean America since ever?
World War II.
Yeah. Like that's pretty much our goal. We're
you like have guns, Israel?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was supplying them with troops, and because I was ahead in tech, they're still fighting with cavalry and riflemen, and I send them infantry and then a destroyer and battleships. So they're like, we have wooden-hulled privateers, and then my battleship rocks up and is like, I'm going to kill you from 3 miles away.
My favorite thing is when people are at that stage of tech and you've got bombers, and you're just like performing air raids on them, and they're like, well, we're screwed.
But so I played a couple games of that. With Civ 5 games, a couple games of that takes forever.
Yeah, so that's like a month, right? So
yeah. Other than that, me, Kevin, and Tyler finally got together and played Left 4 Dead 2.
Well, hold on, bro. I'm going to let you finish. But this is a legit question I'm a little embarrassed to have to ask, but what does England's space program do? Like, the actual England space
program? I don't think they have one.
I mean, they have to, right?
No.
We kind of don't.
Yeah, I mean, but they have... someone has satellites.
We have spy
satellites.
We do.
They presumably have, they do, too.
Yeah, but we might have launched them. We do have that special relationship.
Oh, yeah, that is true. They are, I think, Three Eyes is the... It's us, England, and Canada. We're bros. Australia gets left out of that one, which is a little sad. But they're part of Five Eyes, along with, I think, France. Anyway, sorry. Okay, Taylor Swift, you may continue.
So me, Kevin, and Tyler got together. We played some Left 4 Dead 2. I didn't realize that the Steam version of Left 4 Dead 2 also came with all the campaigns from Left 4 Dead 1.
Yeah, me neither. That was actually kind of cool.
But I discovered something while playing this. I have a very aggressive point man style of play.
Yeah, I know. You won't slow down.
That is aggressive. That is annoying for everybody involved.
Yes, it is.
Except that one time it screwed you over.
Because, well, it's annoying for me just as much as it is annoying for you. Because it's annoying for me because they can't keep up and won't tell me they aren't keeping up.
That's true.
I always tell you to slow down. And you're like, no, be faster. Noob.
I mean, to be fair, I will legit admit I'm bad at that game. I don't know what, like, I'm worse at Left 4 Dead than I am at any other shooter for reasons I don't understand.
And we also discovered something that I already kind of knew. I am more liberal with throwable weapons like Molotov cocktails and pipe bombs than anybody else is.
That doesn't surprise me.
I will just use them, whereas everybody else, like, will go all the way. We played a campaign where I was the only one that used the throwable.
And he used, like, six of them. So
I'll use them as soon as the tank shows up.
Well, everyone else is, like,
them when I get biled by a boomer, I will use a pipe bomb, and if a tank is there, or a witch, I will use a...
Well, everyone else, I don't feel as though it was necessary. There's never a question of, is it necessary? I'm going to use it, because otherwise I'm just going to sit on this resource for the entire game and not use it.
So I actually use them a lot more in competitive shooters, but my problem is I always run out, and then I'm like, man, I really need a grenade to flush this guy out, but I'm out of grenades.
I'll just use them, because otherwise I'm just... If I sit on it, waiting to find that perfect throw... I'm never going to throw it.
Yeah, and that's why none of us ever throw it. So.
We actually played the hospital level, and we lost Kevin because a tank punched him off the building.
Aww, it was really
that
funny.
Reminds, my favorite Left 4 Dead memory is when I played the tank and I got in the helicopter on No Mercy and punched somebody.
Yeah, Zach
out
was
of
talking
it.
About that actually while we were playing.
The only reason the enemy team won that game is because there were two survivors. You punched one of them out of the helicopter and the other one was in the helicopter.
Yep.
So it flew away with the tank in the chopper.
Good times.
And then
wait, guys, I'm coming too.
We discovered one. Apparently, there's a couple of two-level campaigns from Left 4 Dead 1 that I didn't realize existed.
It might have been DLC that you didn't play.
Might have been. But we played a few of them, and I got the achievement for going through a level with entirely only a fire axe.
Yeah, I've done that one yet.
It doesn't make that hard. It's more like something you'd have to choose to do. Like, boomers are going to suck.
Boomers, witches, and tanks, you can't really do anything about.
Yeah, you can't do anything about the witch anyway. You don't wake her up.
But more impressively, I went through that entire level with only a melee weapon, still had the most infected killed of anybody.
By, like, a large margin.
No, that makes sense to me, because infected, like, just die to melee weapons real fast.
That is true.
Yes, but a gun is usually going to do more damage from a longer range, so it's more applicable.
Actually, the guns do less damage, but they do have the range advantage, so you can shoot them before they get to you.
Yeah, I feel like on anything less than hard, the melee weapons one-hit kill infected. Often multiple infected because you get a wide swing.
Well, then you take into account a shotgun will do the exact same thing.
I feel like it only kills the one you get with spread, though.
Yeah, I don't feel like the shotgun was exceptionally great at killing stuff.
I feel like it does a lot
more
piercing damage than actual spread damage. It's been a while since I played
The shotgun will knock them away from you, and if it doesn't outright kill them,
although we were
it
also
removes
on that,
them far enough that you don't have to.
We were defending on that super small platform. I actually used a crowbar at that point, and that was really effective. So,
because you guys are horrible shots, and you didn't kill them before they got there.
At the very least, the melee weapons are way better than pistols in that game.
But so we played a few games of that, which I've been looking forward to. I've wanted to play Left 4 Dead 2 with a couple of friends for quite a while. Because while I think the game is a pretty good game, it is a game that you really need to have multiple people to play because it's really boring alone.
Yeah, I actually did that first one where you have to fuel up the car by myself. I'm like, this is kind of eh. I'm actually kind of sad that Ed didn't join us because he was online when we were playing, but I don't know if he was actually online or his computer just thought he was.
Yeah, I mean, when we played yesterday, I sent you a message on Steam, and I don't know if you were actually there. That's why I actually ended up texting you. It's because I figured, you know, we all wanted to kind of play, but I wasn't sure if you were like, you turned on your computer and then switched the input to your Wii U.
I actually turned on my computer and then went upstairs to grab food and got distracted playing Smash. So
that's kind of what I figured might have happened. So I just sent you a message asking you if you wanted to play with us. Because again, it's a fun game when you have, I think with only two people, it's still kind of flat because the computers are.
We should do a survival mode together, though.
What is that? Just survive as long as you can?
Yep.
That might be fun.
What have you been playing, Tyler?
A little bit of Pokemon X. Fun story. Well, maybe not even a fun story. I got a haircut in the main city.
Lumos, I want to say.
Yeah, it starts with an L, definitely. I can't remember. And I'm like, okay, well, this costs 3,000 Pokebucks, so I'm not going to... But I hated it. So I went and got a different haircut. And now I'm in the second city. Or the second gym city. Finally. It only took me 20... Like,
time to rock climb, brah.
I have a Greninja. I just...
Does it listen to you?
Yeah. Oh, so last time I mentioned Pokemon Survivor Island...
Yes.
I have officially deleted that off my computer, but...
You got voted off the island?
One thing, speaking of disobedience, one thing that I actually kind of like about it is every new Pokemon you catch is disobedient to you at first.
You have to beat it into submission?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you have to inculcate some Stockholm Syndrome.
I just had an image of somebody catching a Magikarp that won't listen, and he just sits there beating it on a rock for like an hour.
Like that one comic where he just uses the Magikarp as a sword?
Yes.
I haven't actually been playing a whole lot. Obviously, I played some games with Zach. I played a couple rounds of Spelunky, didn't get very far. I've been kind of game ADD. I'll play something for about 15 minutes and then move on. I think my problem is, actually, I really want to play Persona 3, but I really want to finish my other console game, which is Metal Gear, but okay. I really don't want to finish Metal Gear.
Just play Persona 3 then. Finish either one. Do either one. You'll make me happy.
I should.
I'll be like, bro, high five. The end of Metal Gear, huh? Or I'll be like, bro, high five. Isn't Persona 3 the best video game you've ever played?
I have progressed in Metal Gear, though, and it's not even that I don't want to play it. I have fun when playing it, but it seems like such a time investment for some reason that I don't want to actually start it.
Just, like, rush to the end. You're so close.
I know. I'm so close. I rescued all the kids that Eli caused to defect.
I've actually noticed a similar thing. Like, that's why I haven't been playing Fire Emblem. Or not Fire Emblem, Mirage Sessions. Is because I'm like, I'm getting farther. Ooh, what's that?
Now, so my problem is, like... I always do this, and it, like, never makes sense in retrospect, but I'd be like, well, I could spend a half hour on this game, or I could play this five-minute thing, and I really feel like I only have time for 5 minutes, but then I'll end up playing the five-minute thing for an hour.
Yeah, I'm guilty of the same thing.
And like
one day I'll beat Wind Waker.
Yeah.
And then there are only, like, two Zelda games, and I've played them all.
Which ones are you lacking, out of curiosity?
Phantom Hourglass, Trains, exclamation point.
I've not played that one.
That's all of them. And Wind Waker.
I think Triforce
Heroes. I haven't played Triforce Heroes either.
That's game. The newest one. Yeah, no, I played that with someone. I also haven't played the, like, Philips CD games.
Okay, no one cares.
Okay.
Remember that time that Sony was going to make the Nintendo PlayStation, and then Nintendo was like, nah, brah, Philips. And they made two terrible Zelda games and a Mario hotel management game. What the? When I die, if heaven is real and I can, like, just learn everything, That is the first thing. I'm just going to
They
be
made
like,
three.
What the hell? Oh, three Zelda. Well, one of them you play as Zelda.
Well,
two of them you play as Zelda.
Yeah.
I recently watched the Angry Video Game Nerds review of those three games. So
I can't wait to bomb some Dodongas.
Yeah, I think my only one that I'm lacking is...
Oh, Minish Cap. I haven't played Minish Cap.
Oh, yeah, I haven't played... Yeah, I didn't own a Game Boy Advance.
And, like, news for this podcast, every Zelda is available on Virtual Console.
Yep.
Except for the Philips CDI ones now, because...
But no one wants to play
Skyward
this.
Sword came out today.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Nintendo wants to pretend those CDI games never happened.
I don't blame them.
I think the entire world agrees that, yes, Nintendo, let's do that. Let's pretend that just some like sort of YouTube wizard created these clips for use when necessary. The games were never real.
Yeah, I think the only two I haven't played are Minish Cap and Trains.
Phantom Tracks? No, it's not that. Spirit Tracks. That's it.
Yeah, I actually own Phantom Hourglass if you ever want to borrow it.
I do too. And it's $10 on Wii U Virtual
Console.
It's
not a very good game.
It's my brother's favorite.
Hero of Trains. He's wrong. I'm sorry. Specific hero.
Well, you're no longer Hero of Time. The blood's been diluted. So now you're just Hero of Keeping Time on Schedule for Trains.
It sounds like a delusional conductor is just trying to give his life meaning. I'm the Hero of Trains! Ha-ha!
Like I said, I've been listening to a lot of Power Rangers podcasts. They did a train Sentai that's being skipped. And so lots of people are just like, man, how cool would train Power Rangers be? Think of the history of trains in America and like how important they were to the war effort and all the robber baron stuff. You could do really cool train Rangers, but nobody cares that much about Power Rangers to write that and make that good.
What is the, is it Snowpiercer?
Yeah.
Where everyone's on the train?
Yeah.
What?
It's a Korean movie. It's like the apocalypse happened and everyone that's still alive is on this train. But, like, the higher up, the further ahead of the car you are, the better status you have, basically.
Oh.
And it's about a revolution on the train.
Neat.
Yes. It's a good movie.
It's also a pretty decent metaphor. What I have been playing other than random Pokemon games and a lot of Smash. Man, I played a lot of Smash. No 20XX, though. I keep being like, man, I should invite Jeremy to play 20XX.
You did it that one time, and I just ignored you.
Yeah. Well, you're
a bad friend.
You're like at Elitch's or something, so that's a reasonable excuse. So instead, I just keep getting drunk. And what I'm doing while getting drunk is watching Stranger Things, which is
That's really good.
Really good show. If you have Netflix, I highly
recommend
it.
I'll watch it after I finish Gokaiger. I've got like 5 episodes to go.
It's kind of like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like an SCP, but like they made a miniseries about a single SCP.
That's pretty cool.
So
I want to watch that. What about Voltron Legendary Defender? I hear that's great, too.
I have not actually, like, I've heard only good things about it, so.
It's by the people who did Avatar.
Oh, well. Yeah, I think I knew that in some level in my head. Yeah, sadly not a whole lot of video games. I did play a really cool board game when I was in San Francisco, though. And by play, I mean watch people play because it's only 4-player.
Was it the train game?
No, I've played, like, all train games. Train games are mine.
There's the train thought experiment game. Are you not familiar with that? I don't want to spoil it on the podcast, because it's one of those things where if you know the twist, the game doesn't work.
No, it's called Scythe, and it's like a role-playing board game.
That sounds cool. The Pathfinder Adventure game, or one of the recent D&D games?
I don't know enough about how they work to say one way or the other, but basically you get a character, and you get to choose how you are going to consolidate victory, similar to like a lot of games, like you have multiple win conditions. Nothing's random except you get events, but you can always choose how to resolve an event. So you basically choose how to resolve it in the way that's most beneficial to your strategy. But it's also an alternate history where we built mechs during World War I, and the world's pretty much a ravaged wasteland because of it.
Mechs make everything better.
Yeah, no, it's a setting I really dig, and it's a system I really dig. And Ed's apparently getting a copy in like October, so I'm looking forward to it.
We got to play his loop on the third board game sometime.
I am so... Like, we tried one day, but we're all... It was, like, too late at night.
The rules are, like, in Italian, so it's
They
not
actually have English rules, too. Okay. So, they're in Italian and English, but it's bad
English
translation.
I think you can betray the team if you're Fujiko.
Yep,
you
can.
I think one person gets to play Zenigata.
Yeah, once you get the treasure, Fujiko can betray the team if she chooses. She doesn't have to, but she can.
It's just like Lupin.
Yep.
Unfortunately, you don't fight Leonardo da Vinci in it because it was made before that. And Leonardo da Vinci doesn't destroy the minds of everyone who's not better than him at something.
It looks like a really fun game, but every time we've tried to pull it out, we've all been like too tired to really want to like... It's got really complicated rules.
Yeah.
Or at least really poorly formatted rules.
I think it's the latter.
Oh, although we did play House on Haunted Hill.
Oh,
or Betrayal at the House.
I know which one you mean.
It's such a good game. I know. It might be my new favorite board game.
I'm not familiar with that one.
You all explore a haunted house looking for stuff, but it's like got tiles that represent rooms and they're randomly generated as you move. But eventually one of you becomes a traitor and there's like 38 random scenarios that so you don't know which one's happening. And the traitor doesn't know the player's victory conditions and the players don't know the traitor's victory conditions. So you're playing at odds against each other, whereas before you were like on a team until they decided to betray you. But it's random who the betrayer is.
Interesting. So,
yeah, it's a great game. I really
love
like
traitor mechanics.
It's a lot of fun. If we ever can, we should definitely, like next time we have a board game night, we should definitely try to play that. But this isn't the board game podcast. So what have you been playing, Jeremy?
Nothing. I keep watching Gokai. You're still good. Giant pirate mechs are pretty cool. Can attest. I wish they weren't all CGI. That makes me sad. And then I played Super Mario 64 to listen to podcasts because my hands will just play that game on their own. It's really good. I appreciate it a lot more after doing so many episodes of this podcast, but I don't really going to go into it because we're definitely going to play that game for the podcast. And I have the Sophie's choice of, is Super Mario World better than Mario 64 coming up?
Super Mario 64 better than Banjo-Kazooie? I maintain yes still.
No. But Super Mario 64 is a... Oh, it's good. Yeah, that's all I've been playing, though. That and The Assignment.
Oh, wow. Tell us how you really feel. Because the listeners can't see your face palm.
So I feel like the dual laser swords in Super Fantasy Star Online 64 are really cool. I added two adjectives to that game, one of which is a number.
Fantasy Star Online, such a great game. This is not this game.
It's not even, but it's really good for if you're like a 16-year-old.
Well, it's a decent multiplayer game.
It's very grindy, but it's kind of fun.
It's the one thing that I feel like Monster Hunter is lacking is multiplayer, and it has multiplayer, but like I feel like they're very similar niches. They're okay games
Monster
by themselves.
Monster Hunter
but...
is why Phantasy Star Online 3 didn't work, because why would you play that when you could play Monster Hunter?
Yeah. I'm just going to preface our discussion about this game with I ended up muting it and listening to Dresden Files.
Good choice.
While playing it.
I was listening to podcasts. Man.
I made the mistake of leaving the music on.
Is it that, like, I don't remember like it, was it really. I just was.
It's that bad.
Is it? I feel like it was just really mediocre, but I don't. It was muted half the time, so I may not be in the position to speak on it.
The consensus is kind of early Genesis games had better music than early SNES games before people really figured out how to work the magic that was the Super Nintendo sound chip.
Yeah, I feel like the exception to that is like any early games with Nobuo Uematsu as the composer.
Yes, because he's a wizard at NES and Super NES composing. But anyway, this isn't the Nobu podcast, but we could do that.
Man, I wish he had been involved with this project. It would have been better by his touch.
Do you put your name in before you get the awful introduction, or do you get...
I think you did at first. Jerem had to be retired for the powerful Jera. Because I needed more power,
I was Tuli, short for tulip, the beautiful flower.
I can't remember
flower.
What I used my name. I think it was just A.
Yeah, what's his default name?
Rolf.
Yep, that's it, Rolf. You only get four characters, presumably because,
Because Sega do what Nintendo don't, Tyler.
Yeah, because this is a Japanese game and you have more sound per character in Japanese.
You can fit so much in the Chrono Trigger name boxes.
Yeah. Sega do. What year did this game come out?
92, I want to say.
Okay, so significantly before Chrono Trigger.
But anyway, so you load up, give your guy a name.
Oh, God.
And then you get the world's first terrible exposition dump.
As you know, this game begins very poorly.
Jeremy, who you've been with for many years, is telling you this because you are his loyal servant or something. So, man, this game begins with, like, a textbook example of how not to do exposition.
Yeah, like this would be in a textbook for creative writing of the example of how not to write an introduction.
Oh, this game came out on my birthday. Not on like my birthday, the day I was born. This game came out.
Wow. That actually explains.
A year later, it came out in NA.
That actually kind of explains your physical infirmities, my friend.
I was cursed by it.
sharing the birth date of Phantasy Star 2.
Now, so the game opens with like a commander guy going, "Hey, character, I, the commander, who you know because you've worked with me for 3 years, I'm going to send you out on this mission to this place you know. but I'm going to explain what it is. Controlled by Mother Brain, the thing you should already know about, but I'm going to explain what it is.
It's just bad. Like, what? This is the first time I've ever encountered a game introduction thing that made me cringe. Actually, come to think of it, any media thing like this that made me cringe this badly. Because, I mean, we've run into terrible writing. I watch a lot of anime. I've run into terrible, I've run into terrible writing. This is on a whole nother level. This is like somebody let their sixth grader write the introduction.
It's not quite so bad it's good, but it's so bad it was almost endearing to me. Because from the start, there's no point where we're like, okay, let's see what this is. It's kind of like the first Michael Bay Transformers, where it's like, in the beginning, there was a cube.
The reason this irritates me so badly is because I spent a good chunk of my recent life learning how not to do this.
Yeah. Zach is basically like a writing major, for lack of a better term.
No, that is exactly what I am.
I thought it was English.
Technically, I'm an English major with an emphasis on creative writing.
And as a person who likes to write occasionally and also an enthusiast of language, this hurts me as well.
As an enthusiast of reading.
Like, yeah. This is how I would start a parody of a story, like, designed to show how to... Like, this is the TV Tropes As You Know page, or, like, a webcomic making fun of the As You Know thing. Like, this is worse than Meanwhile in the future.
But see, there's a difference between using it for comedic effect and trying to play it and use it as a straight-laced thing.
They're trying to straight-lace this,
and it's just bad.
Oh, and that's only the first NPC you meet, and... Oh man, the text scrolls so slowly. It's so bad.
Your first 15 minutes of this game is listening to this exposition.
Yeah, I thought the text scroll in Dragon Warrior was real bad and real slow. But Dragon Warrior was pretty to the point. You gained experience. Go quest, guy.
Here's an example.
This game goes like so long.
Here's my recommendation if you really, really want to play this after we tell you about it. Start the game up. Run out and get dinner.
You have to hit A, though.
Yeah, put a rock on the controller or something.
Set it up so that your controller will hit it. Or, better yet, get your worst enemy, tie him up, and get them to hit A for you while you run out and get dinner.
So, Commander Guy gives you a quest to go investigate the biodome or something, because apparently a bunch of genetic abominations have been running amok recently.
Your fan service anime cat girl is like, don't leave without me, Rolf!
Who is apparently one of the early genetic abominations.
She's your sister girlfriend.
Clearly, she just can't work the can opener, so you have to bring her with you so she doesn't starve.
Yeah, you don't have enough cat food to, leave her at home alone. So she convinces you to take her with you, even though she has no skills whatsoever.
She has a healing spell.
That is true, yeah, she does have a healing spell. And you can buy her a crowbar, which is what I did. Yeah,
she doesn't start with a weapon, and you can't attack without a weapon in this game. So if you don't go to the store, guess which weapon she can use and equip it to her.
I assumed that she was just supposed to be a flat support character that couldn't actually do anything.
No, you get one of those later.
It's been a while since we played Final Fantasy, but I feel like it tells you what classes can use which weapons.
Yeah, they
like,
raised their hands repeatedly.
Yeah, in the shop. This game came out 3 years later.
Actually, so what they do is when you try to buy a weapon, it asks you who you want to give it to. And the shopkeeper is like, are you crazy? Are you sure you want to give it to that person? Which I took to mean, oh, maybe I shouldn't give it to that person. But that doesn't always work. I gave the main character a weapon he couldn't use, but it did work for Nene.
A lot of other games I've run into where it's like characters that can and can't use specific weapons. Usually it'll either say like not able, a little bit like when you're trying to use a TM in Pokemon X and Y, where it'll say, you know, able or not able for those.
Yep.
There's always an indicator of can they use the weapon or not.
Yeah, I've never played an RPG that doesn't have at least an indicator of can you use it. This game is also guilty of the sin as, is this weapon better? And
that's a more common sin, but it's still sucks.
Well, there's still a lot of games that make that particular, have that particular sin built into them.
So in this game, I went and grinded, because you need to grind in order to get to a high enough level to survive a bunch of the monsters, but that left me with a lot of money. So I went and bought a bowgun, which technically has higher attack, and my character says he has higher attack when he equips it, but it does less damage overall. So,
what?
Yeah.
Well, that might be like in Phantasy Star Online, where guns use a different damage formula.
Yeah, and I think that's...
But they still use your attack.
Yeah, and it was actually a gun. So
they use your strength.
Yeah, the attack went up, but his overall damage went down. He might have been able to attack more frequently, but I couldn't really tell because the combat system is really confusing. So, you take your incompetent cat girlfriend on a magical quest to investigate a dome, which you don't get to for a very
long time. Let's be honest.
Are you even told the dorm is to the north? You just go, investigate dome.
let's be honest. You take her on the quest to go kill a certain number of monsters until you get to a high enough level so you won't immediately be killed by the monsters outside.
Basically, you're trying to find the dome, but the path to the dome is blocked by this guy named Dauram, who apparently tried to kill your cat girlfriend a couple months earlier. So rather than, you know, having conflict there, you leave and end up in a town that's been ravaged by bandits. So you have to go kill the bandits. And then you find out that the bandits kidnapped the guy's daughter, and then you go rescue the guy's daughter, and he kills her because she disguises herself for reasons. I'm not really sure what her motivation for that is. And then you pick up easily the best character in the game, Hot Doctor Chick. Also, some other guy, like a hunter, joins you at some point.
Six characters. One thing I want to bring up, like, I'm looking at the game's Wikipedia page because I'm not sure what to say about it. One of the reasons this game is popular, A, it was the first RPG on the Sega Genesis, which gives it something. It predates Final Fantasy and Dragon Warrior in North America.
Okay.
So, like, it's kind of the first JRPG in America.
So
that doesn't
something...
excuse its crappiness.
Well, I'll say,
yeah,
what about
the
original...
looking for something novel and different...
What about the original Fantasy Star? Was the Master System not in America?
It was, but who had a Master System?
Okay, good point. So, I alluded to this earlier, but the combat in this game, man. So,
that is bad.
So, it is technically a turn-based combat system, like a lot of RPGs. The problem is, when you select the fight command, combat just kind of takes over, and it processes the turn order in a really confusing way. The character who is acting will pop up on screen in front of a row of enemies, kind of Dragon Warrior style, and interact with them, either attacking or defending.
The backgrounds are like these weird Tron grids that look like they're graph paper the monsters were drawn on. It's not very visually engaging.
You don't have a great deal of control. Once you press fight, it'll basically run through a whole bunch of sequences that...
It's mostly hidden to the player.
I'm not real sure how it worked. And then eventually it'll come back around and you can change your orders, which are kind of hidden in the menus.
Yeah,
they're not hidden, they're just not where you expect them. Because fight isn't like the attack command in most RPGs. It just means execute the commands we've given you.
Yeah.
And the second option is how you set who you want to attack what, who you want to like cast spells and stuff.
So one of the things you can do, though, as Jeremy just said, is you can choose to cast spells. I got to the point where the main character could cast Fireball, basically. The problem is, if you choose that, he will continue casting it on every attack action until you get control back. He blew all of his MP in one turn, so I couldn't heal.
So, I mean, the lack of having a consistent control over everything your characters do is a massive problem. And, after I say that, we have to come to the logical comparison for combat systems with Ogre Battle 64. We mentioned in that game that you don't have direct control over your squad's combat capability. You give them what is effectively a guideline. And that's kind of how this one works. But the main difference is the focus on the two games. This one, you have a much smaller contingent of people. So you want to have much harsher control over what they're doing. Because they're expending resources, like Tyler said in the case of his Fireball. He casts Fireball, he burns all of his MP on a weak enemy. You don't have that for a stronger foe.
I was expecting him to cast it once, right? And like, now I know, but...
I think the games we really have to compare this to are Dragon Warrior and Final Fantasy. Specifically, it's probably better to compare them to Dragon Warrior 2 and Final Fantasy 2, which we haven't played. But one of my complaints about both those games is that combat in an RPG, since it's menu-based, needs to be sort of puzzly.
Yeah.
Pokemon does this perfectly with its... super
rock, paper, scissors system.
Shinten does it even better with its super, super high-stakes, super effective system.
I thought Ogre Battle 64 was a logical comparison because the way combat is directed.
I mean, this is another
by the player.
Yeah, I was actually going to... The reason it's excusable in Ogre Battle is because really the point of the game is building a squad and choosing when you fight. You get neither of those choices in this game.
Well, Dragon Quest... My main thing was you don't really have many choices. You can cast spells, but it's always best to just save your MP to heal yourself.
Yep.
Final Fantasy limits your choices because you have limited information. If you kill an enemy and your allies who are set to attack him will still attack him because you have to give all your orders at the start of the turn.
Oh, and they don't flow over and attack enemies that haven't been killed yet?
Yeah, that didn't get implemented yet. So imagine in a real-life combat scenario, it was like a bunch of warriors are getting ready to attack something and the mage shoots with a fireball. Well, they can't cross the remaining 50 feet in 2 seconds to go attack the other thing. I think that was the motivation behind it. I don't think it worked very well.
I know that kind of system.
To make you try to plan ahead a step?
Yeah.
I know how that system kind of works, because in Battletech, you have to you can't change your targets because your target got killed.
But it's puzzly, which is the point, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
There are decisions you're making, and there are, like, logical...
There are meaningful decisions that you're making.
Yeah, there are meaningful decisions that have some logic influencing them.
It feels like this is worse than Dragon Warrior, because even though you have another person to control, which in theory should give you more choices...
You're not really controlling them, though.
You are. Like, I feel like you're building a logic script, right? You're programming a fight. And I think that can actually be really interesting.
Yeah, that's Final Fantasy XII is a great example of
exactly.
That.
And even Dragon Age Origins with your allies kind of works that way.
Actually, Dragon Age, all the Dragon Ages have the tactics scripts in them.
But like this one, because you're doing it so many times and MP is such a precious resource.
Like you never really want to cast spells in combat.
You need control over MP because of how precious it is as a resource, which makes it useless in combat, which is a problem, frankly, a lot of RPGs have. But it just seems so exaggerated here because you can't just choose to, oh, crap, I need to heal. You're going to be healing every turn.
Yep. Yeah, and you'll often waste healing because you'll already be at full health because you'll cast the spell repeatedly.
Which means you have to go back to town even more often than in Dragon Warrior.
So and speaking of town...
I mean, especially if you get yourself into... if you end up in a fight where you get hit hard and you need to flee... Number one, it took me, like, I think, 4 tries to flee from the thing that attacked me. And it still killed my main character. But because of that, you can't duck out of a fight that's gone bad early enough where you can actually make a difference.
That's another problem a lot of RPGs have, and like the mid-era Final Fantasies tried to solve that by, instead of flee being a command, it was hold 2 buttons, so it was a choice you could make during the enemy's turn. And like I talked about Legend of Legacy, where they just completely overhauled how running worked, which was kind of interesting, but created other problems, which you could definitely get around. How did running work in Chrono Trigger, where it had like map-based combat?
Could you just run had a Chrono Trigger? Yeah, you had a flee command and you could run, but if you, so you have a moment of invulnerability after the combat ended,
okay,
where you can sneak by them, although you basically never run from fights in that game. In most RPGs, actually, it's better to win the encounter, but
usually, but sometimes you run into a problem of you ran into an encounter that's just a little bit too high level for you. You don't have the resources to deal with it.
Yep.
So that's sometimes trying to duck out of a fight is the better
option. Discretion is the better part of valor, right? But it's a decision you can make. And you can make it in this game, but maybe too late sometimes because you have so many actions between saying, I want to hit something and I want to run away.
I think Legend of Legacy, for all its problems, really taught me I like a runaway option that's 100% effective but has a consequence over one that has a chance of failure.
Yep.
What was the consequence?
You went back to the start of the...
Oh, okay, yeah. I honestly think that's a better way to do it because that's one of the most frustrating things to encounter. And it still happens in a lot of games where you can't run away from an encounter. It's like, fail to flee. Well, there goes the turn I could have used to try and fight my way through it, but because I made the decision, I failed to run away from something.
Or like Persona, the way that works is you will flee, but it rolls out die basically and you flee in a random number of turns.
Okay.
So you give the flee order, and then you have to survive a little longer?
If I remember right, Mirage Sessions is just a base you can fail to flee.
After combat, like Phantasy Star and Dragon Quest before it, you go to town a lot to heal, because you need to grind
after
a lot of levels.
Scroll through literally 3 different dialogue boxes to see how much money you got.
Yeah.
Received, 3, Meseta. That's an A press between all of those. Why?
Anyway. Why just should have just thrown up 1 dialogue box?
Even Dragon Warrior did that.
But yeah, so you got to go back to town, heal up, go back out.
And like Dragon Warrior, money is actually a really valuable resource in this.
I do want to say some things that were kind of charming to me. I talked about with the first Phantasy Star how I liked the future setting. I like how when you die, you have to buy a clone of your dead characters.
I really like that. I was thinking about the implications of that, of like, how long has it been since they died? What if I had to like trek all the way across the continent and they're like,
did the Dark Souls thing where like you had to like bank how much experience you have, but if you could get the clone to like where you died. Dark Souls, that's a really good mechanic.
I mean, there's so many decisions that would have made this game better. The thing I was going to bring up in town is that there are a number of like staple resources, but like every shop has a different shop owner and they all have different portrait art. There are some minor touches that are kind... I could see why this game was endearing to people, if only from an aesthetic level, although the monsters look like ass. God, the combat looks so bad.
The entire combat thing looks bad. Your characters look terrible. The bad guys look terrible. The field is just non-existent. Like Jeremy said, it looks like a weird Tron grid.
And it doesn't even look like the psychedelic backgrounds in Earthbound that at least look like they're on purpose.
Yeah, I guess maybe rephrasing that, the portrait art looks really good if you're into like generic anime faces.
Yeah, like the dialogue portraits look good.
I like the setting even. The problem is the actual story and gameplay are just so lame. Also, it's one of those weird sci-fi universes where you're hitting things with swords. So that's the thing. Maybe they banned guns. Maybe this is swords. Actually a lesson in banning guns. Although you do get like auto crossbows, so... Oh no, it's one of those weird things like Final Fantasy VII where everyone has machine guns, but one guy's got a really big sword.
So anything else we want to say about it?
I avoid feel like this game much, like but... the plague. This one's bad.
My problem is like the draw of a lot of JRPGs. I mean, ignoring all the mechanical issues, the story is usually what you go to play a JRPG for. It's like, I want to see character development and interaction. The problem is the characters never really interact with each other beyond they're like greeting each other stage. The story is really lame. You're sent out to go investigate a biohazard. Turns out it's still a biohazard, and also the computer would predictably malfunction because it's called Mother Brain and controls the entire system. It's super obvious.
So if you like this game, because this game is strangely popular, email us at lasttimeonvideogames. Email us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com and tell us why.
Because yeah, I would really like
would
to know.
Like to know. I want to hear what redeeming things people see in this game. Because, oh.
I feel kind of vindicated. So the reason we're talking about a lot of people like this game is it's on a lot of top RPG lists for the Genesis. And on the
to
wiki-
be fair, the Genesis didn't have that many RPGs.
That's true. And the Wikipedia meta score page or section has nothing but like at least 85% reviews. But the Steam review is like 4 out of 10, and I'm probably falling even lower than that, honestly. So I'm really confused as to why there's such a disparity. So if someone who listens to the show played this game and liked it, I would love to know what about it you liked. Really, only the art for character dialogues is like...
This is one of the first games that came out of the U.S. with this much story that tells a story in gameplay.
It's a really lame story, though. It's like baby's first RPG plot. Go beat up the thugs. Now go beat up the monsters. Now go beat up the computer. Like, it's almost as bad as the original Final Fantasy's plot.
I think it's worse than that, actually. Because, like, that has, I don't want to say twists, but it starts out with save princess. Okay, we built you a bridge. Go hang out with some elves. Oh, there's a pirate.
I mean, this had a twist early on. A guy kills his own daughter and commits suicide in the first, like...
Is that a twist?
I mean, you're expecting a boss fight.
That feels a little bit on the same side as No Russian.
No Russian?
Are you not? That level in Call of Duty 2 that they gave it, or Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 that gave you the option to skip it.
I know which one you're talking about, but I never actually played it.
It's called No Russian, if I remember correctly. It's there for shock value.
No, it's not even that... this is probably there for shock value because the character who gets killed is actually in your party for a little bit before her.
It doesn't work as well as Celis's attempted suicide, right?
Well,
which might be the most poignant moment in a video game to me.
Yeah, I was this episode I was talking about describing Final Fantasy VI to Alex.
Yeah,
but like that was one of the things I brought up. I'm like, oh yeah, and also there's a character who thinks that she's the lone survivor of the apocalypse, taking care of her possibly cancerous father figure and trying to heal him back to health. And if she fails, she tries to commit suicide. And like, man, that game is so much better than this game.
There's no argument here. So we have a list at our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, listing all the games we played. At the top is Chrono Trigger. That RPG is so much better than this one, guys. At the bottom is Golden Axe.
Somewhere near the top is Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah.
I mean, we...
Number 13, I think.
We already said this game is worse than that.
In the middle is still Mario Bros. From last week. I wonder if the list is going to remain top-heavy. It's not. This game sucks.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like the obvious starting point is the original Phantasy Star.
Yeah, which is the lowest RPG we have on the list.
Not anymore!
Yeah, you know what the original Phantasy Star has? More charm?
Yeah. A talk command? Those 3D sections?
Well, like the story...
Hate those 3D sections.
I don't think they're good. They are available.
The story is immediately more interesting. The characters are more colorful, and they're not Rolf. And like I feel like
the main character's a girl. That's kind of interesting.
Well, immediately the characters are more interesting. Like they're not great, but they're more interesting than these characters. These are the most staple cutout characters ever.
The introduction to that one did not sound like a sixth grader's first attempt at a creative writing project.
And as Jeremy was commenting, I don't know if it was on the air, that might have been like translation issues. Like someone didn't really care about the translation. But even then,
it's an RPG. That's incredibly important to get
at least I agree. Feel right.
The story of the original Phantasy Star is immediately more compelling than this, just not compelling enough to finish.
All right. So the next RPG-ish game we have on the list is King's Knight. That awful.
I guess that's RPG-ish.
Shooter. Man, that is the. Look at what we have to compare it to, and you pick something,
okay,
bro.
Okay, fair enough.
Bar USA for president. That game's better.
I mean, it's obviously got problems. That's why it's so low on the list.
It did innovative things, like the having four different levels for four different characters that then team up.
Yeah, I mean, it's got some neat ideas. Not well-implemented ideas, but some neat ideas. I really dislike the setting of that. I'm trying to give this game a fair shake. Obviously, I think it's worse, but I'm trying. Yeah.
Well, I suppose somebody has to.
I mean, King's Quest, at least, like, I played it for a lot longer than I played this game, and this game is all about time investment, so.
All right, bottom of the list, the only other fantasy game we have down here is Golden Axe. Golden Axe is a better story than this game?
Golden Axe
with
is
its,
better.
Like, turtle?
No, Alex!
Co-op gives Golden Axe a great deal of playability because you can have it with yourself and a friend. This game lacks that because it's a single-player game. Setting your combat up and basically saying, I hope this works, is not the same as getting your potions, setting off the nuke, getting on a lizard, whacking somebody with an axe.
So the way you described it is even generous, because setting your combat up and hoping it works sounds actually kind of interesting. This isn't even that good.
Yeah, Golden Axe's combat is really bad, but I think Phantasy Star 2's is worse.
You're more invested, at the very least, in a Golden Axe's combat.
I'm not very invested in Golden Axe's combat. Yeah.
No, but you actually have to, you know...
You have to pay attention.
Pay attention to the enemies.
Well,
on screen.
Okay, you have to at least be holding the controller. The thing I can say in defense of Golden Axe, even though it is at the bottom of the list, is that at least it was amusing at how bad it was when we were playing it. It's like one of those movies that's so bad it becomes enjoyable. It's objectively so bad.
But cooperative play means a lot.
Well, even
especially
single
in one
player,
of those 2D side-scrolling beat-em-up games.
You could master Golden Axe. It's not a game worth mastering, but you could.
Yeah, and like everything you're saying applies to Altered Beast, but more. It's way better. As far as a so bad it's good thing, it's more worth mastering. There's more variety.
And
but
it's so bad it's good,
Altered Beast
and also
is above
memes.
Golden Axe for a reason. And I think Golden Axe has been at the bottom of the list too long, and it needs to be replaced by some sort of space fantasy RPG.
I really like the setting to this game. They just told a really bad story with it.
And as well really as having terrible gameplay. Mechanics.
Yeah, and the mechanics were off. Like,
I can forgive bad story for great mechanics. Likewise, I can forgive bad mechanics for great story.
My problem is there's something salvageable here if only I was the DM.
So, there's some poetry in us now having an JRPG at the top of the list and a JRPG at the bottom of the list. And you know what's at the top? A Super Nintendo game. You know what's at the bottom? A Sega Genesis game. So Phantasy Star goes below Golden Axe at number 169. Let's all keep going on this adventure called life until we learn what goes below Phantasy Star 2.
There are definitely games
all
that
right.
go below it.
So well, I'm picking this week, if I remember
yeah,
correctly.
Yeah, Zach, what's worse than Phantasy Star 2?
All right, I'm going to take a whack at this. So I played a game when I was a little kid that I think I might have a bit more of fun memories about me being bad at than the game was actually worth. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to skip Lords of the Realm 1. We're going to play Lords of the Realm 2 on
just
Steam.
Just to annoy Jeremy.
Yes.
Next time and last time, I'll get you next time, Gadget.
What?
I don't know. Next time on last time, Lord, the people, they love you.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2016. All the video games and other media mentioned within are copyright their respective owners. Past episodes and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us by email at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. We're also on iTunes and would really appreciate it if you left us a 5-star review. Podcast over. You have to go to the start screen and load your last save again.